Oh, what's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. Adam Gray said he was going to give me a signal that we were live and did not do that. So,
well, I was going to tell you, too, that we may as well – we're going to post this thing immediately.
Yeah.
Because it's live for everybody, so it's not like one of those deals where we're saving it for tomorrow.
For sure.
Yeah.
So
– what's up with you, man?
Not much. What's up with you?
Nothing. Just kid had a blowout on her way to – so I had to, like, stop and turn around and wipe the feces off of the car seat and do all that stuff.
Oh, that kind of blowout.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not understand.
What did you think in the
text? I thought she, like, was upset or something like that.
Oh, no. Blowout means there's poop coming out of her diaper.
That's incredibly unfortunate.
Gray knows all about that. Yeah, it happens all the time. I've gotten so much feces on my hands in the last 16 months. It's ridiculous.
It's actually crazy.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, man. My dog actually.
Oh God.
When she'll have some moments like that too in our house.
Does she just go?
It's just it's not good.
Yeah, the puppies, man. They get those sensitive tummies. I get it. I've been there. So what are we doing today?
It's the ask.
Oh, time out. How was Cap City League? And then we'll get into this. How was Cap City League?
Night one of Cap City was. Left a little bit to be desired.
I was reading your piece, which you did a really nice job of making that interesting.
Thank you.
By the way, it did seem like there was a little bit. It was a little bit less than an exciting night, to put it nicely, at the Cap City League.
Yeah, when one of the highlights of the night is Big Stu making a 3-pointer, then you know that it was a little bit slow.
That is a highlight, though.
Yeah, it was. He swished it. He shot another one too that I thought he was going to make, and unfortunately didn't. But we're doing Ask CW today. I've got three pages of questions, 37 questions.
And shout out to AgriGold, our friends
at
AgriGold.
Of course, yes.
God bless them. We love our friends at AgriGold, those farmers. If you're not planted by now, then I hope you have really good insurance or something, because you're screwed. But our friends at AgriGold, I really do, though. Like, we couldn't do any of this without our awesome advertisers, and they've been a really good partner to bring on. And I think it's important too, is we don't represent Iowa State, we're independent, but a big part of Iowa State's past, present, future is the ag world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that we can have a small part of that on Cyclone Fanatic. So thank you to AgriGold in all seriousness. And all right, so we got questions.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of these.
There's some interesting ones. There's some that are legitimate Iowa State questions. Some of them aren't. The first one...
Let's try and get the Iowa State ones done first, and then we'll go into the crap in case somebody wants to quit listening.
Okay. First, do you think McEnroe Alexander will be a starter for us at some point this year? Comes from Carl Hungus.
So I asked a few birdies about this Alexander kid, and they all... So a lot of times, like, you'll ask around, and they'll be like, well, this is kind of a project. We don't really know. All signs point to this guy being legit.
Mm-hmm.
At one of the two safety spots, I think he'll get a look at, when Cotton Moya's not in the mix. I mean, clearly Cotton Moya's the guy at free safety.
Right.
But, I mean, you don't go to Auburn. Like this. I mean, the guy's got a brother in the NFL.
I mean, he's twins, and if he's anything like his brother, then
he's
going to be pretty good.
I think he will. I don't know if he'll start game one. I don't know. But I think that, again, I haven't seen him play. I guess his highlights are right up here behind us. I haven't actually seen him play physically. However, I watched that, and based off of who I've talked to, they're really excited. So I would guess he plays significant minutes next year.
Do you know if he's got 1 year or 2 years?
I think he has two, doesn't he?
Yeah, I thought he had two as well, but I guess I'd never really heard that for sure.
I think he has two. I would say I'm like 80% sure that he has two. I haven't really looked into it. You've kind of led our reporting on this.
Yeah, well, he played that first season at Auburn in 2013, so technically I think this would be his senior season, but then he sat out 1 year, played 1 year at JUCO, and now he's back at Iowa State. So I don't know if that 1 year would technically count as a redshirt.
Walk me through his one more time. I'm decent on eligibility stuff.
His first year he played as a true freshman at Auburn. Sat out the next year, went to junior college.
So that's his redshirt year.
Yeah, went to junior college, played 1 year, and now he's at Iowa State.
Yeah, he has 2 years.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He has two to play two.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times it's two to play three. He's got two to play two. It's 3 to play 2. He has 2 years of eligibility. So he's not eligible for a redshirt, but he should have 2 years to play.
I wonder if that makes any changes with what they were trying to do on the recruiting trail then with high school kids. But
I don't know.
A different question for a different day.
A couple just really quick football nuggets that I threw on the forum earlier in the week. Jacob Park has looked pretty good early on. Clearly they're not doing anything organized, but like physical ball skills – really encouraging so far. And then I was poking around with a couple of guys on the staff about just replacing Jordan Harris and how that will work. The Sutton kid.
Timar?
Yeah, who committed. He was one of those guys, I think, who committed on Christmas Day last year. And I was But if he's not a letdown, he'll probably play as a true freshman.
For sure. I saw him when I was up there for a camp one day.
How'd he look?
He was moving in. He looks like a...
I mean, did he...
He looks legit.
He
looks like a college linebacker.
See, the one guy who did that to me was Jeremiah George. Like, I'll never forget the first time I laid eyes on Jeremiah George, like, without pads. I'm like, holy mackerel. Is he like that?
His muscles, I don't remember what muscles these are called.
The traps?
Yeah, the traps. Yeah. But he had the biggest traps of any human being I've ever seen in my
life.
That's
good. That's what you want out of a linebacker.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's funny because Jeremiah, that's what stood out to him, too. And for some reason, this kid's always just stood out to me like a Jeremiah George type, but...
For sure. His picture kind of looks like Jeremiah George
does
as well.
Yeah. Good stuff.
This one's from Cyclone Spiker 33. What happens with Iowa State's last basketball scholarship?
I think they'll bank it at this point.
Okay. For a mid-year or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what's today's date? June 16th. There's really not much left.
What about the kid that's supposedly on a visit today?
Well, to me, that's kind of like banking it. I mean... Yeah, I mean, that type of guy who's probably not going to be able to play next year.
Yeah.
So they'll either take – I think they'll take – okay, let me put it back. I didn't phrase that right the first time. I think that they'll take that Tennessee kid if he commits. And I think that that's probably the likelihood would happen. But my point is I don't think that 13th scholarship plays next year.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's either a guy like that or if that doesn't work out, they'll take a guy like when Jameel McKay transferred in first semester – you know, and had to sit out. It'll be one of those – or a Nick Babb situation where he's got that transfer year next year. But I don't think they're adding a guy who's going to help immediately next year like a lot of fans are asking about. It's too late. There's not enough out there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's – if they were going to do anything with that scholarship, I feel like they probably would have had to do something in April or May. It's just
– Yeah. No, I
– With people – I mean, people are getting on campus and – campuses and stuff now too.
Yeah, and they like that the Tennessee kid, I think, because of his just his build.
Oh yeah,
he's the type of guy where he's just a pretty raw athlete, but you can't teach 6'9", 240
exactly.
And you know, hopefully, you made a good point on the seniors that you can use that sit out year and work on some ball skills.
Well, you look at a lot of guys, especially like in the NBA, that who might be that 6'8", 6'9". And some of them haven't even played basketball that long. Like, yeah. I don't know how long this guy's even played basketball, you know?
Yeah. No, I did research on him, and he had a lot of offers out of high school. Dana Altman wanted him. And then Tom Kareem was recruiting him. So, like, some really good coaches seem to like him. That doesn't always mean that it works out. But I'd rather take a risk on a guy like that than a 6'2" guard.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who averaged 2 points a game.
For sure. From MJ4Sci, excluding returning hoops players, who will average the most points, rebounds, and assists next winter? I guess that means who? Okay.
So out of the newcomers?
Yeah, I guess so.
Points, Donovan Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Rebounds, Merrill Holden, and assists, Donovan Jackson.
There you go. Probably about the same thing I'd say.
Did I miss on anything?
No, that's it. That's right.
And then I think Bowie's the guy who I'm kind of like, I'm quietly excited for Bowie. Before he got hurt, he was averaging like 14 a game at Northern Illinois. Now, obviously, that's a lower level of basketball.
For sure.
But I think he has some upside that fans may not realize. However, I don't know if he's going to have the opportunity to – he's not going to have the opportunity to score 14 points at Iowa State, but – I think he could be a guy who quietly has some nice little games for him. Holden's a guy who just knows his role. That's what I like about him.
I was looking forward to seeing both those guys play last night. They were at Cyclone Academy.
That's what's fun about the Cap City League is seeing the new guys.
Did you hear about Cyclone Academy?
Well, I read about it. What is this?
It's something like to help people transition to college. But these guys have already graduated from college.
What did they have to go for?
I don't know.
Why are they scheduling it during the Cap City League? Come on,
yeah,
Iowa State.
Yeah, maybe it's all a conspiracy.
Maybe they're trying to keep them out of the Cap City League.
Yeah. Well, they don't want anybody to see them before.
Oh.
That could be it.
Prohm knows that the early season foes are scouting.
Prohm had an idea to create an athletic department-wide program in order to keep these five guys out of the Cap City League.
So people don't get a sneak peek at Merrill Holden.
Yeah.
Where there's 4 years of tape on him just floating around.
This one is Forbin's Ascent. What do you think is the most likely scenario regarding Georgia's future in professional basketball next year? Excuse me, next year.
I don't know. I feel like every time...
Number one overall.
No.
No, I was just kidding.
I feel like every time we have a guy like this, like the hype heightens.
Mm-hmm.
The closer to the draft comes, and then we're always let down.
For sure.
I really haven't asked anybody about this because it's just... Like, to me, like, being a late second-round pick doesn't really mean anything. It's the same thing as being a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to guess right now, I think he's, like, a mid-to-late second-round pick, and then he fights like hell to make a team. But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get drafted either.
Yeah, I bet he plays summer league, and then...
Yeah.
I would say honestly, I think the better situation would be if he went somewhere in Europe and played. And actually played.
The only thing is, once you go to Europe, it's harder to get back a lot of times.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we saw, like, Deontay Garrett did that. And he made it in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, I mean, like, I think George would be better off going the Chris Babb route where...
Trying to get in the D-League?
He's in the D-League, and he's fresh on the minds of GMs. But, I mean, if he's a second-round pick or if he's a free agent, we're talking about the same thing.
Definitely.
He's just scratching and clawing to make a roster throughout the summer.
He'll be on a summer league team.
Absolutely.
Like, that will be – that's 100% sure.
Well, I think that Abdul Nader will too.
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing just as many workouts as George
almost.
Told
me the other day when I was doing that podcast with him that Nader's, like, been the real surprise of the offseason.
Wow.
Like, that a lot of teams really like him. He's not going to get drafted.
No.
But I've said this for a while. I could see Abdul Nader being this class as Bryce DeJean Jones. God rest his soul, but not like that. But, like, all of a sudden you look up and it's like, oh, Abdul Nader just signed a 10-day?
Yeah.
Huh?
Actually, I was going to tell you this. I'm going to hop on a conference call with ESPN's Chad Ford tomorrow and get his thoughts on George Niang and Abdul Nader.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. So
good
have some more on that this weekend.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that'll be great.
From Cyclone Dave 25, this coming season, would you rather win 10 regular season football games or the national championship in basketball?
The national title in basketball.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Adam Gray is confused.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think, like, selfishly, for Cyclone Fanatic, I think that if Iowa State would win 10 games in football, it'd be really good for our business.
Mm-hmm. But if they won the national championship, it'd be better.
But a national title is a national title. It's like, that's what you strive for.
Right.
I realize football is bigger than basketball, but... Like, that's why you play the game.
If you win 10 games in football, where do you go? The Holiday Bowl? You know? Maybe? I don't even think that's a Big 12 bowl
anymore.
Yeah,
that's not a Big 12 bowl anymore, but something similar. Or maybe you sneak into the that deal with the SEC. I don't know.
Yeah. Like the Sugar Bowl or something? Or not even that big?
It'd be awesome, and Iowa State fans would go nuts. And that'd probably be more lucrative for us. In Iowa State in general. I think Iowa State athletics from a strict financial standpoint. But, man, just think you're winning the national title.
Definitely.
Like, that takes you to a whole new tier.
Right. That's like a school changer almost.
No, I'll take the national title. What about – do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Cy, A-Rob, similar to your recent interview with Prohm, can we get one with Campbell? Also, when does the new site come out?
Okay, the Campbell thing, yeah, I think it will happen.
Lots of WWE talk.
Yeah, oh yeah. For sure. I was in there, I was farting around the football offices a couple weeks ago, and I bumped into Campbell, and we started talking WWE.
Yeah.
I appreciate about the man.
He's the thing I always say about him is that he, like, it doesn't matter who you are, he just wants to come up and talk to you.
Yeah.
About anything.
He just give you a hug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about a hug, but he just wants
he
to come talk.
Give you hugs?
No, he hasn't given me a hug.
He hasn't given me a hug either. But that'd be that. He reminds me of a really young Dan McCartney with his ability to, can I say, bull to BS.
Mm-hmm. He
like McCartney, you would go into Mac's office and he'd just like quiz you about stuff that you could tell he didn't really care about, but he was acting like he did for
sure.
An hour.
Yeah.
Then you'd walk into Chizik's and he'd essentially kick you out within a minute and a half. No, but I don't know. Campbell seems, man, he's as genuine as they come. Yes, I'll try to get that done. I'm on vacation next week in Florida, but then the week after I'll try and get the thing done with Campbell. A lot of requests for that. The Steve Prohm one, by the way, was insanely downloaded.
Definitely.
I think the most listened to podcast we've ever had. It's like, well, Prohm was amazing.
Yeah, he was awesome.
God, I swear I didn't give him shots before that.
Sure.
Like, he was so chill. Like, that was awesome. That's Steve. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the real Steve Prohm, but fans don't get to see that very often. And he's coming out of his shell. I love that.
He's actually more like that. Like, if you're just standing talking to him, he's a lot more like Matt Campbell.
Yes.
You know, where he is open to just talking about anything.
Absolutely.
You know?
He would prefer to talk about, like, his kid and watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse than,
right.
than the, you know, the depth on the basketball team. The new site, and I'm not be yet, you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It will be out before the Big 12 media days.
It's beautiful.
Which I think I leave on July 18th. So, I mean, early July is what we're shooting for. It'll probably be mid-July. I don't want to overpromise, but the mobile site is awesome too.
Yeah, it is for sure. In football, would you rather beat Iowa or Oklahoma this year and why?
Probably Oklahoma because they're going to be
a top five team.
And it's a Thursday night on ESPN.
Yeah, that'd be big time.
Home game, all the fans are there to see it.
Yeah.
Beating Iowa doesn't mean to Iowa State what it did in 1998.
Well, and when's the last time Iowa State beat Oklahoma?
Iowa State has 3 wins against Oklahoma in school history.
Yeah.
Iowa State beats Iowa basically every other year.
Right.
So I would rather beat Oklahoma.
I'm not sure you're going to be able to have much of an answer for this one, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Hypothetical, if the Big 12 adds 4 teams and gets a $1 billion payday, does Iowa State add baseball back to athletics, especially if the 4 schools have baseball program?
No.
Yeah, I would say no as well.
Well, and that's confusing. If the Big 12 adds 4, that the $1 billion thing isn't as simple as
you should get $1 billion.
Yeah, hey, here's $1 billion.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I don't want to get too into the business side of it, but that's not exactly how it works.
Right.
What the Big 12 could do and what I think they would do in this hypothetical situation is what the Big 10 has done with Nebraska and Rutgers and Maryland, where they don't make as much as the other schools right mm-hmm. away. They've got to transition into that. That's where these Big 12 schools could be bumped up in their pay. Here's my guess as to what happens. This is kind of a way out there, okay?
Okay.
But nothing happens without the blessing of these television networks.
Right.
That's why the Big 12 exists. Solely because ESPN wanted it to exist. That's it. That was why the Longhorn Network $15 million a year life raft was tossed out in 2010. They needed the properties. So there's a couple things to watch for here over the next few months. One, keep a close eye on the Big Ten's negotiating right now. I mean, all signs point to ESPN and ABC picking that up. However, there are rumblings out there about NBC. My point here is that if the Big 12 would invoke this clause, this $1 billion deal, sure, it would be good in your short term, but you're really going to be pissing off Fox and ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not worth that at this point in time.
Right.
My guess is there are meetings going on with ESPN right now. What do you want us to do to set us up for 2025
right.
when that next contract is up? My guess is I do believe they'll expand to 12, and it'll be like BYU and Houston or who I don't even know. I'm just throwing Houston out. I think BYU will be one of them because I think it'll be football only. Is how they do this. I don't think that they're going to expand in like
basketball,
women's golf, and
yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
That. So we'll see. But I do think that I don't think it's going to be the Big 12 putting a gun to the head of ESPN and saying, pay us our $1 billion.
Right.
I think it's going to be these two sides sitting in there negotiating what's best for everybody.
So moral of the story, no baseball.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Like, it's not.
I don't think people realize either how much like infrastructure work would have to be done for Iowa State to rebuild a baseball program.
Yeah.
To like catch up with the other schools in the Big 12.
Did you hear it was a bit, I promise, on KXNO the other day, I was about how terrible Big 10 baseball is.
Oh yeah, I heard you talking about that. Yeah.
Well, but I'm like kidding about it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole joke of it was Iowa State doesn't even have a program, and I was rubbing it into the face of Iowa fans about how terrible the Big 10 is and how good the Big 12 is.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it is like geographically, it's incredibly hard to compete at a high level in college baseball where Iowa State is, and that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I mean, there's people that know a lot more about it than I do. Frankly, I don't care. Like, I don't miss Iowa State baseball.
And
here's the problem. We're going to have about five guys come on here and be incredibly critical of all this because it's like really close to their heart.
Yeah.
When in reality, 90% of the fan base doesn't care.
Right. And, you know, they don't have a facility that could accommodate Big 12 baseball. You know, it's just so hard for a team in the North to be successful in college baseball anymore.
Listen, if Iowa State had baseball, I would enjoy it. Because I'd go up and watch games, and you wouldn't see me complain. But I'd also rather put those resources into football and the basketball.
Definitely.
That's just me. And I know that there are others out there who disagree, and I respect that. We're not all going to agree on everything.
Okay, so this guy has a theory, a Fred Hoiberg theory.
Okay.
JP Forsyth. Fred gets canned along with Garpax halfway through 2017 season. At that same time, Jamie takes over for Alvarez as Wisconsin's new athletic director. Fred then comes back and becomes the new athletic director at Iowa State, since it will be less stress on his heart than coaching, and he can fundraise like no one else.
No, I don't think that will ever happen. Just because I think Fred, the reason he wanted to go to the NBA is because he loves basketball.
Right.
And he didn't want to deal with all the BS that is recruiting and making sure guys are going to class. He's not going to want to deal with the responsibilities and the politicking of the Fred didn't like the politics of recruiting. No, you think he's going to like the politics of
fundraising?
Sitting in a board meeting with ESPN producer? It's not crazy. I think it'd be a very popular deal within the fan base for Fred to lead the athletic department, but I don't think it will happen. I think if Fred gets fired by the Bulls, he'll end up like a GM at some point.
For sure.
Someday, or a scout or something. I think he'll be in the basketball world.
He's not going to get fired by the Bulls in 2017 anyway.
Fred's the type, too, where when he's like 55, I think Fred will be retired golfing every day.
Yeah.
I don't think Fred's going to be this guy who's coaching when he's 70.
For sure. This is from NWICY. How badly does Lindsey Metters/Fennelly beat CW in a game of one-on-one?
Oh, it's bad.
They say, I'm just assuming he would concede a game of horse and or 21.
I would have a better shot in horse.
Yeah.
Because, like, I it's just like spot shooting. Like, I'm not that bad. She'd kill me in one-on-one. It would, like, a game to 11, ones and twos. I might score 3 or 4 points. Maybe.
There you go. Hey, CW, what is a successful season in year one for Coach Campbell?
5-7. I would say 6-6, but they've lost too much.
Yeah.
They've lost too much.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody tells me. They lost a lot.
And
they've lost a lot of depth.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the saving grace is that I think Rhodes was recruiting better the last couple of years, and those guys may be ready to play, but that offensive line's – I know these guys are offensive line gurus, but come on.
Right.
We had a real conversation with Ben Bruns the other night about Nick Fett being the best offensive lineman on the team.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to Nick Fett. I think he's a nice player. But nobody even heard of him at this time last year.
Exactly.
So,
except for people in Audubon.
Yeah, us Western Iowa folk.
Yeah.
The Wheelers.
Right.
I hope that Tom Manning is a miracle worker.
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, I hope so. The line will be okay, because I think they'll scheme around it. I think these guys know how to scheme around a bad offensive line.
For sure.
I don't know if the last staff did. So I think that, you know, as bad as it might be, I think it may not look that way. But we'll see. I would say I would be very happy with 5-7. Because if you're 5-7, you got a shot at 6-6. And
exactly.
I think that's all that fans can really ask for after you've won, what, 7 or 8 games in 3 years.
Well, and if you're going into a home game, the last game of the year, for a trip to the bowl, to a bowl game, then, you know, people are going to be excited.
Absolutely.
Regardless. But
just win the games you should win.
Right.
Like, I think that's what made last season suck so much. It's like that Toledo game you should have won.
Right.
You know, like, don't drop to you and I or North Dakota State. Like, that's when the negativity really started to grow in the Rhodes era. Because it started off, they were upsetting. They were winning games they shouldn't. And then they started losing games that they should win
right
at the end. And that's what really starts to piss people off. So if Campbell wants to, like, if you're, you know, if you're favored in a game, you damn well better win it. Because Iowa State's not favored very often in football.
Definitely. Somebody said that the new site will come out about the same time Jack Trice Stadium gets a bigger press box. There's a lot of goofy ones right here. You already mentioned, you said this one's what true freshman, if any, will see playing time for the football team in the fall. Anybody else besides Tymar Sutton?
I think Chase Allen could.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Am I missing anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You're as good on, you know as much about this as I do, probably more.
I'd probably say Chase Allen's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, the JUCOs, but they're not true freshmen.
No, they're not true.
I would say Chase Allen and Tymar Sutton, yeah.
Way too early bracketology question. What seed will the Cyclones have in the men's tournament this upcoming year?
So what were they last year? Were they a 5?
A 4.
4? Whatever. They'll be a 5 seed.
I say 5-6, yeah.
Yeah, 5 or 6 would be the safe bet. Yeah, they'll be a 5 seed. The Big 12 is not nearly as difficult.
For sure.
And I mean, if you've got good experienced guards like Iowa State will have, and that league's not going to be nearly as good, they can get second or third in that league.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
it won't be as impressive because their RPI won't be as good, but they'll still be. If you get second or third in the Big 12, you're a 5 seed, at least. At least.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're second in the Big 12, you're probably a 3 or 4. Actually.
Yeah.
So it'll depend. I just don't know what their RPI will be like.
Depending on how many losses you have, and how many losses everybody else has.
Yeah. What are you doing in the non-con?
Right.
And the big thing that, like, for Iowa State, like the last year, their non-con turned out to be really good. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of those teams, like Chattanooga, Buffalo, like, those teams eke their way into the NCAA tournament, and that looks good at the end of the year.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it just depends on that. But, yeah, I would 5 or 6 seed. Put the over-under at 5.5, and you guys can decide.
Also, does Bill Fennelly's team make it back to the postseason next year?
Well, you're a better guy to ask about this than I am, Jared.
I think they will.
They've got good experienced guards, mm-hmm. good core with Jada and Shauna.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out and say they're going to be a top, you know, they're not going to be a 5 seed, probably. But they'll
get
in with an at-large bid.
11 or 12 seed.
Yeah.
But I think Bridget's the one who, to me, like, she's the key to the season. I don't know about you. Because
yeah.
I think you know what you'll get out of Jada and Shauna at this point. Like, Bridget, to me, has a higher upside at any player I've seen there in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see what she's able to gain from this Canadian thing.
She did make the team, by the way.
She made the developmental team.
Okay, well, I just saw on Twitter. Yeah. Krogs put it out there, actually.
Krogs is the dude.
Krogs is all over it. At G Krogs on Twitter. But yeah, she's on this developmental team in Canada. I hope Naz and Melvin make the Olympic team too.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I don't think that Canada is actually going to make the Olympics though.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
they've got to qualify, but
yeah. And if they don't have Andrew Wiggins and Tristan Thompson and all those guys, that's going to be a
just
tough.
Think of all the Canadians played though.
Yeah,
they'd be really good.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I remember when Iowa State recruited Tristan Thompson.
I remember.
I think he visited here.
Did he?
I think so. And that's funny. Did you listen to the Simmons podcast with Jimmy Butler yet?
I was listening to it on my drive down here.
Yeah, I remember that because Otzelberger is a Milwaukee guy. And
yeah.
Jimmy's a Milwaukee. I remember when he was about to come here.
Really?
Yeah, I covered it. I'm sure I interviewed him at some point. I specifically remember talking to Tristan Thompson.
There you go.
Because that was like the whole Canadian surge thing was going on at that point.
That was back before Tristan Thompson held like a whole franchise hostage, and along with LeBron. And
Now, it's crazy though. Like some of the guys who Iowa State has recruited over the years, and like where they ended up. That to me, like now that you're starting to cover recruiting, that's the most fun part of it. There's a lot of baggage that comes with covering recruiting. I mean, you're kind of at the mercy of 18-year-olds when you're trying to do your job, and that part sucks.
Yeah.
But it is fun to watch those guys. That's my favorite part of my job, is getting to know assistant coaches, and then when they move on, it's like I have reasons to root for a
bunch of people,
teams all over the country.
Yeah.
Like that's cool.
For sure. All right, from Gunner Clone, without naming names, what are ITKs, I don't know what that is, donors, university employees, people within the football program saying about the ceiling for Matt Campbell? Are they thinking he could be a Kirk Ferentz, or are they thinking more of a modern Paul Rhodes?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Everybody's very high on him so far, and that's what should happen before a guy's even coached a game. I'll give you two examples of like the two people who have been the highest on him. One guy, and I wrote a column about this. One guy who I stood on the sideline a long time, Booster, just a great guy. He's been around forever, and he's like, man, I don't know what it is, but something's different. Something's different with this staff. That's what he told me, and that meant a lot to me because this guy is knowledgeable. And then another one told me, he's like, you know, if these guys can't win here, nobody can. Mm-hmm. Like from what I've seen. I don't know if I believe that. Like, I think a lot of luck comes into play. And I also believe that you create your own luck. Like, good teams have good luck more than bad teams do, right?
Definitely.
So, but I think Paul took some really bad luck over the years, too.
Oh, well, yeah, no doubt. I mean, some of the injury stuff was probably bad luck. A lot of it was.
I think it started off in the Rhodes era, I thought that. The more it happened, though, I was kind of like, is there something fundamentally that these guys are doing?
Well, after a while, it seems systemic that it was happening, you know?
I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about strength and conditioning, but it just – the problem is once you start that down that road, and that's what worries me about this year with the offensive line, when you start having to play guys as freshmen and they shouldn't be out there,
right,
and they're just getting their asses kicked every single Saturday, they start to break down, and that's what worries me about Jake Campos. Like, this is a guy who's supposed to be an NFL tackle. Is he going to hold up?
Yeah.
I hope. Daniel Burton was the same way. When Daniel Burton was a freshman, we're all looking at him like, my God, this guy's going to be in the NFL someday.
Yeah.
And he completely broke down because he got his ass kicked so much so early in his career. So, like, to me, like, you know, it kind of started off with those offensive line injuries, and then Paul had no choice but to play these guys. I mean, look at Robbie Garcia. Robbie Garcia was 270 pounds, started as a redshirt freshman, as a defensive tackle in the Big 12. Got hurt. And, you know, hopefully he comes around, and I think they're pretty high on him going into this year. But we'll see. I think that luck and systemic is a good way to put it, because with the amount of injuries they had, I don't know how you couldn't point at that a little bit. But, again, I'm no strength and conditioning expert.
Which Big 12 teams are most likely to underperform expectations this fall, and which of them does ISU have the best chances to beat?
Oh, okay, this is a fun question. Well, you have to start at Baylor.
Yeah, for sure. Because we don't even know yet what's going to happen with them.
And nobody's talking about Jim Grobe. Man, I don't know Wake Forest football too much, but like, he's not a spread guy, is he?
No, I don't believe so.
But
I think he's only doing stuff with the defense,
Okay, so this Kendall Briles is just in charge of the offense?
Yeah.
But is Kendall Briles even there come August?
Right. Yeah.
He shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Baylor's, to me, like the one where this is going to go one of two ways. It's like, oh, we rally the troops and everybody's out to get us and they – but, man, like to me, like a big part of that Baylor program was just the swagger that it had. And they're not going to have that with Jim Grobe. Like, I think that they're more likely to go 7-5 than they are 10-2.
Yeah, and I think – and I've heard from a couple different people that the exodus is coming.
Yeah, I would buy that.
Whether it's current players, guys that had letters of intent, everything.
I can't believe that they haven't released all those guys. If you're in Vegas today, go and take the under.
Yeah.
I would at least. Okay, Baylor. Who else? As far as underachieving goes, TCU is really weird. But I think TCU, the more research I do on them, they'll be okay. Just because Gary Patterson's a genius.
Yeah.
And they have a really good defense coming back. People forget that Kenny Hill's coming in at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were scoring points at the end of the year without Boykin anyways.
Right.
I mean, they went into Norman and played really well at the end, and then they won that bowl game. So I think they'll be okay. Who does Iowa State have a chance? Oklahoma State, I guess, would be one team that I think will underachieve because of their schedule. If you've looked at all their tough games are on the road. I don't think Iowa State can beat them in Stillwater. But all of their tough games are on the road, so I would slot them. I don't know. I don't think the Big 12 is going to be that good.
No, I'd agree with that.
After Oklahoma and TCU, I think that just, I mean, with Baylor, Oklahoma State, like, Iowa State, like, on a good day, should be able to hang with any of those teams now. Mm-hmm. They should.
For sure. All right, I think that's all of the Iowa State questions.
I feel like that was a quality.
Definitely. 36 minutes of Iowa State questions.
We'll do some off-topic ones now.
Yeah. Ted Flint wants to know if we're live
where are we
right
at
now.
Where are we at on time?
It's 36 minutes.
Okay. Because we got to record the podcast coming up, too.
Yeah. Are we still having a meeting, you and I?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right. What is the worst bar on Welch to take a deuce in? Did you ever take a deuce in a bar on Welch?
No.
That's the first question that was asked.
That's disgusting. That's the first question that was asked in this podcast.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Who asked that?
Carl Hungus.
Well, that would explain it. I've never taken a dump on Welch Ave. Have you?
That'd be an awful decision. Most of the bathrooms don't even have an actual stall.
Yeah,
it's just a toilet.
Yeah, most don't have doors.
Yeah.
Like the Outlaws bathroom.
I don't go to Outlaws. Yeah.
That's my stomping ground. Like a Stoss, like there's always like puke all over the ground. Like,
yeah.
No, I've never taken a dump. Like if anything, I just go and break into somebody's house across the street. That'd be disgusting too, actually. Never. Can we move on?
My wife is a country music fan, whereas I occasionally listen to it. So what new country tunes do you have on your playlist that might be worth checking out?
Man, the new stuff's not very good. I'm just telling you that right now. The new stuff sucks. But, okay, so semi-new, the Chris Stapleton album is amazing. Traveler, it is like top 10 album of all time. Chris Stapleton.
Oh, Chris Stapleton.
You know who that is?
Yeah, I've heard Chris Stapleton.
So check him out if you haven't already. He is fantastic. You will not regret that. I got the new Dierks Bentley album this week, and it's really good. Dierks Bentley never lets me down.
Dierks Bentley?
He refuses to sell out. He keeps, like, with his style, doing his thing, and he hasn't ever gone bro or douche, mm-hmm. and he doesn't win awards. He doesn't get a lot of playtime on the radio, but he just stays true. So his new album, Black, that's what I'm listening to right now. I downloaded it earlier this week. It's fantastic. Avoid the new Keith Urban album. It sucks. Justin Moore's got a new one coming out pretty soon. I'm really looking forward to that. He's one of my favorites.
There you go. How do you pass the time on a long car ride?
Podcasts.
Yeah.
That's no brainer. I like Simmons, the Richard Deitch.
The one with Brent Musburger is outstanding.
I haven't heard that one
yet. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
I listen to wrestling podcasts.
Well, that's
WWE.
Good.
It's fun. I love the Ringer one on the challenge. The MTV's The Challenge where they go through and analyze it. That's fantastic. And then there's a couple of like paranormal ones that I like to listen to.
Which ones?
Have
you heard Archive 81?
Man, I don't know what they're called. They automatically go to my phone, and then I just.
I've got a couple more.
Paranormal ones?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't know you were into the afterlife.
Well, this one isn't as much the afterlife. It's just like weird things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got some like ghost hunter type ones.
Yeah, I hear you're going to be a ghost hunter.
Yeah, I'm going on a hunt.
Are you?
Yeah.
Did you see that Rob and I want to go to the Villisca Axe murder house and see the ghosts?
Well, I don't know if you'll see them, but you may.
I mean, they'll be there.
Yeah, damn right they will. Did you hear what my dad did to Ross Peterson?
No.
So Ross Peterson, my co-host, is always talking a big game about how ghosts aren't real.
Yeah.
So my dad is going to buy him a night in the Axe Murder House by himself.
Good.
To put his money where his mouth is. And yeah. Ross agreed to it.
There you go.
He won't do it. He'll get too scared.
Dude, I just look at that house and I'm scared.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
That house is haunted times 10.
Would you rather go to a game in Lubbock or get stung by a jellyfish?
I'd rather go to a game in Lubbock. That sounds awful.
Yeah. Arm wrestling match. You or Randy Peterson?
Move on. I'd just try not to break his arm in the process.
That's fair.
I would never do that to Randy. I would never arm wrestle him.
Tommy Burch, on the other hand.
They probably would.
No, I'm saying you and Tommy Burch.
I'd beat Tommy, too. I would absolutely arm wrestle Tommy, too, and I would destroy him.
And you guys would most definitely be drunk when it happened. And
probably.
It would turn into some kind of thing where you celebrated wildly.
Yeah.
I can already see it.
I get teed up.
Is there a chance Cyclone Fanatic will add a music forum as suggested recently?
Yeah, we'll do that. Just wait till the new site's up, though. It doesn't make any sense to open it up to do that right now. So, yeah, we'll do that for you guys.
Wheels686 wants to know why the Green Bay Packers are superior to the Minnesota Vikings.
They're not. The one, as far as I'm concerned, one team is the defending NFC North champion. The other one is the second, or is the first runner-up, which makes them the first loser.
There you go.
Who's the champion right now? Who's the champion? It's not the Packers. Congrats on beating Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins in a playoff game. Awesome accomplishment.
If you were a college or professional wrestler, what would your walkout music be?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Those guys always have people like create them for them, usually. So I would probably just lean on the experts. But something by Eminem.
Mm-hmm. One of
the angry like Eminem songs with a really good beat to it. Till I Collapse.
Cinderella Man
is, yeah. That's probably my favorite like pump up jam.
There you go.
Like when I go on runs and stuff and lift, that's what I always put it on the Eminem Pandora and just roll.
There you go. Last question, which polo is newer, Jared's Nike or CW's Under Armour? You better believe it's mine. Adam Gray hooked me up with the new.
These guys are
polo.
The Under Armour Nike thing's fascinating because like Gray here like loves the Nike. I love the to me I like how Under Armour fits. But I'm not like anti-Nike. I just prefer the Under Armour stuff. It fits me better, I think.
I see a nice polo, and I put it on.
Yeah.
Works for me.
This one's actually a couple years old.
There you go.
I haven't gotten my new one yet.
I literally got this right now when I walked in the door today.
Looks sharp.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it looks nice.
All right, so that's all our questions we got.
Bada boom. Guys, Jared's in charge next week.
Hey, hopefully I don't burn everything down.
There's a decent chance of that happening. I'm so glad that you're here now.
Yeah, me too.
So that I can go on vacation. I'm not taking my computer.
You're not taking your computer at all?
Is that dangerous?
No, it's not dangerous.
I probably should.
You think I can't do it?
No, I know you can do it, but it's like...
Here's the only thing that worries me.
Site issues.
It's that if... that's one.
Like
two, if there's some kind of like major breaking news, I know you're going to want to weigh in on it.
Yeah.
Even though you're in Florida, and then you'd be stuck and you'd be like not have your computer, and it's like, oh my God.
I'm notorious for that. Yeah, I'll probably take my computer.
Your wife's not going to be happy, though.
Well, I'll just try not to use it.
There you go.
But that happened last time, though. Like, we were going with the Blooms to Florida. It was, like, 2 years ago. And I'll be damned. I mean, the second we got on the plane, Iowa State got, like, two commits. And it was basketball, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of who it was who committed. It was a big deal. Was it DeAndre Kane? I think it was DeAndre Kane or something.
Bryce DeJean Jones?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I think I actually remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting on the plane. We're getting ready to take off, and Bryce DeJean Jones commits.
Yeah.
It's like, God, I got to do that when we land. Now I got Jared.
There you go. Now you got me.
God bless you.
Rob's going to be gone, too. I won't even have an editor.
Oh, well, you can handle it.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
Just read over it a couple times. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
All right. So it's like podcast heaven the next 2 days.
Yeah.
We got this one, Fawcast, coming up today as well.
Yeah.
And then you and Adam will have the recruiting pod for tomorrow. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
What are we talking about in the recruiting pod? You've been going to the satellite camps.
Well, I didn't make it to the satellite camp.
Oh, yeah, tire blue.
Yeah. But had to go back to Stewart and get my car.
You've been all over that football recruiting beat, though.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, and then there's a camp on this Saturday.
Where's that one at?
It's in Ames.
Oh, okay.
And then they have a big visitor coming in this weekend.
Who's that?
Number one guy on my hot board, Caleb Chandler.
Oh, real nice.
Yeah, so that's that'll be an important one.
Cool.
So we'll have that to talk about.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You got anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
All right,
man.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend, everybody.